1 Corinthians chapter 16, and I'm going to pick it up at about verse number 12 and go to a verse that I want to preach on today. Let's back it up to verse number 9. Everybody there say amen. And a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. That is a great ministry verse. I love that verse because God has given us here at this church a great door and effectual is opened unto us. We're reaching more people right now than we've ever reached in the history of this church. It is unreal what God has allowed us to do. But yet there are many adversaries. We don't want to forget that. But boy, what an opportunity. And just hearing about the jail ministry, two men being saved at the jail Wednesday night. And just all kinds of opportunities to serve the Lord. Camp coming up here, the fall teen retreat. Of course, the internet deal, the visitation Brother Josh is doing, and the Heritage Academy. Man Alive, boy, they planted seeds this week, is that right? And the greenhouse deal is taking off. And I've hoarded all the honey. But they harvested more honey. And they got a whole case of it this time. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, I'm all excited about that. But there's so much opportunity in the CD ministry and the social media and so much that God's doing. Verse number 10, now Timotheus come and see that he may be with you without fear. For he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace that he may come unto me. For I look for him with the brethren. Paul was wanting him to come. And then he said, verse 12, he said, as touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he hath a convenient time. Can I tell you something? You're never going to do work for God if you wait till it gets convenient. Did you know, I do not get anybody visited if it's just convenient, if I wait for a convenient time. We'll never witness anybody if we're just waiting for a convenient time. You'll waste your life and go into eternity having waited for a convenient time. Life does not provide that. You're going to make up your mind. If you're going to tell somebody you love them, it's not going to be at that convenient time. You're going to have to make a purpose. You're going to do things with your family. You're going to go to mountains. You better be getting it done because one of these days you won't be able to walk. Amen. You won't be able to get out there. But anyway, I'm not preaching on that, but I could. And it's a wonderful thought. Hey, don't wait till you have a convenient time. Do it. We preached on verse 13. Watch ye. Be alert. Stand fast in the Lord. Quit ye like men. Be strong. Preached on that last week. Let all your things be done in charity. That means suffer long. Be kind. Envy not. So forth. Chapter 13. God says, you do everything you do within the fines of that charity. Verse 15, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, which was the first fruits of Achaia, and they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. You can be addicted to some good things if you want to be. You can be addicted to the ministry of the saints. I thank God for, you know, I have preachers all the time ask me, Reggie, how do you get those people to work up here? I said, I don't know. God just does it. I'm serious with you, but it's amazing in this church, the work that people do to get things done. Nothing would happen without all the people that do all the things in this church, from prayer to just literal physical labor. Verse 16, that you submit yourselves unto such and everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. You can see Paul bringing this thing together as a body of Christ, how they were working together to get the gospel to people and what a blessing it was. And then he said, verse number 12, I'm glad for the coming of Stephanas and Fortunus. I don't know how to pronounce that. Fortunus. How do you pronounce that? Fortunatus? Something like that. Achaicus. For that they have, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. That happens a lot with people. When somebody's lacking something, you have an ability to supply that, do that, and it's a minister to people. Now, here's what Paul said about all this fellowship and laboring in the ministry and doing all these things in the work of the Lord. He said, for they have refreshed my spirit. Now, I'm going to preach on this phrase. They have refreshed my spirit. God literally got a hold of me today, this week on this. And I discussed this with my mother this morning. And my mama said, you're on to something. If my mama says I'm on to something, I'm on to something. Amen. And for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. And all the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. That's the only part of the Bible I just have a hard time obeying. Amen. My wife, I'll greet with a holy kiss, but nobody else. Amen. Anyway, the salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus, let him be anathema, Maranatha. That means Maranatha means that he cometh. The Lord's coming. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. Lord, help me to preach. I pray in Jesus' name. Bring my mind under the submission and control of the Holy Ghost of God. I pray, Lord, right now that I would just empty myself. Lord, you'd empty me of flesh and all the junk that might hinder folks from getting something out of this message. Lord, I pray you bless these families. We do pray for those that are going through trial, sickness, trouble, Lord, and things right now. We lift them up before you for your grace and your mercy in their lives. God, wrap your everlasting arms around the souls of these people that are sick and going through tough times, God, and comfort them. And Lord, I pray this morning, refresh their spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. When I was a young boy, this week I was Lakey's over there. They were putting up some hay on a place over here, and he's got one of them. They got a baler, and I pulled into the field, and the boys was telling me about this, and they've got what's called a square bale accumulator. Now I think that square hay bales should have been against the law when I was a boy, but it wasn't. How many's ever bucked square hay bales? All right. How many loves it? Raise your hand. Not a hand in the house. Anyway, they've got this accumulator, so the bale comes out of this baler and it goes up through this thing and then it drops down and this thing puts it in five rows of three, 15 bales, and when it's all full, it drops out. And then I thought they'd go over there, pull the truck over there and get it and buck those up. No, they got a machine now that reaches out there and gets all 15 bales and picks it up and puts it on the truck, stacks it. Isn't that cheating? That's cheating, amen. But anyway, they were hauling square hay bales. But I remember when I was hauling square hay bales, and some of the people like you to put square hay bales in chicken houses. I thought chickens belonged in chicken houses, amen? But they fill hay bales up, and you just get nasty and hay down you, and you're tired, you wore out. But boy, if you could go to the swimming hole when you're done. But if you couldn't get to the swimming hole, if you could get to a water faucet and a hose. How many's ever got so dirty and so hasty that you just turned the hose on yourself? Just, you know. I remember once when we'd drive cattle up from the old R place down there, and we'd go by Bill Parrish Spring where Van lives at, and we'd let the cattle go on up the road and go over to spring and get down there and drink that spring water. And it's hot summertime, you know, and you're just sweating. You told that there's something sweet about that. And, people look for ways to refresh themselves. But Paul said something specific here. He said, they refreshed my spirit. You are not just a body. You're a 3-in-1 created in the image of God, and everything affects each other. The fact of it is, you want to talk about made. I don't get these people who believe in this one, Jesus only stuff. You're created in the image of God. Even your body teaches you that. The Bible said in 1 John 5:7, there are three that bear record in heaven, Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. You can't wrap your brain around all that, but that's the way it is, whether you understand it or not. But it will tell you this, that you have a head, a torso, and legs, three. Every appendage of your arm, one, two, three. One, two, three. Then you have a spirit and a soul and a body. You're created in the image of God, triune Godhead. But the question comes, we often are adamant about, watch this, about getting our bodies refreshed and our soul refreshed. But how do we refresh our spirit? The Bible said that though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. Paul said that can happen. Let me tell you what the greatest need of my life and your life is not to go on a trip, not to, quote, get away from it all, but to have our spirits refreshed. And the reason American people are so, they're so full of drugs and dismay and depression, because we don't know how to have our spirits refreshed. Paul taught that you could be in prison for the cause of Christ, and yet your spirit could be refreshed. Amen. How do you refresh somebody's spirit? As I said, most of Americans were interested in refreshing our soul and our body, but the problem is we don't know how to refresh our spirit. Refreshing of the spirit, though, is not regeneration of the spirit. Listen to me. Regeneration is when a lost person gets saved and the Spirit of God births that person, makes a new man in Jesus Christ. That's regeneration, but that's not refreshing. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." God talks about that there'll be a time when the Lord comes back upon this earth to reign for 1,000 years, and that will be a time of refreshing for not only people, but for the entire creation. The ability to be refreshed comes as a result of regeneration. Now listen to me carefully right here. This is where people's missing it. All Americans want refreshing. They want to go on a trip. They want to do this. And I'm not, hey, I just got through being on a trip too. So don't think I'm getting at you. In fact, I'm going to encourage you to take some trips. All right. So don't think I'm jumping on you for going somewhere doing something. I'm not doing that. But the ability to be refreshed comes as a result of regeneration. It's of being saved. You cannot refresh a spirit unless that spirit is regenerated. Now listen to me, right there it is. Amen. People have a need, a legitimate God-given need to have their spirit refreshed, but they can't because they're not regenerated. And when they're not regenerated and they're seeking for this missing part of this deepest part of their life to be fulfilled, then they will run to the refreshing of their body and their soul. But they'll find out something. In the end of it, they're not refreshed. It may last for a few days. They'll do things, go places, and get involved in this, that, the other, trying to refresh their life. But you cannot refresh a man's spirit who is not born again of the Spirit of God. But if you experience repentance and regeneration, then you can experience God's refreshing of your life. You're able to experience true biblical refreshing. So the first thing I want to say to anybody listening today or does listen to this is that you need to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he suffered, died, and rose from the dead, and died for, in your place for your sins, shed his blood. He took upon your sin upon him and experienced the death and the wrath of God that should have came upon you. And that's the first thing you need to do. This message, it don't mean beans to you if you don't get saved. Because you cannot have a spirit refreshed where you're dead in trespassing, where you're dead spiritually. You need to believe that Jesus literally did die on the cross, that he did shed his precious blood for you, that he died for us and in our place, and that he paid for all the sin. You need to repent of your sin, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and receive him as your Savior, and God will regenerate your soul. There'll be a new man born, a spiritual man, as opposed to the old man, the new man, the old man, the flesh and the spirit. And you'll be a child of God. God will have then given you eternal life in Jesus Christ. He'll give you a home in heaven. Now, after you are saved, and this is preaching mostly to the church today, after you're saved, you got to live life. God doesn't save people and then just shoot them off to heaven, does he? No. How many wished he would? Sometimes you wish just get saved and boom, out of here. Amen. But God left you here to serve and live the life that he gave you to live on this earth. But can I tell you, in order for you to live that life to its fullest, to its really what it ought to be, you have to learn how to have your spirit refreshed. That's how Paul could keep trucking, even when he was in prison and beaten and had, you can't even list the stuff he had done to him. But he knew the secret of having his spirit refreshed, even though his body was wore out and dying, even though his soul was sick and tired of it all, his spirit was being refreshed. America focuses on their bodies and their souls, but they do not focus on the spirit of man. And we're never going to get, because let me tell you something, only God can minister to a man's spirit. Only God can minister to a man's spirit. But you're still living, even though you're saved. You're living in a sin-cursed body. It's going to die, amen? And you're living in a sin-cursed world. And because of that, you get weary. You get tired. You get worn out. You get depleted in body, soul, and spirit. Now, how many in this church house has watched the movie Love Comes Softly? Raise your hand. Don't be afraid to raise your hand. I'm really wanting to see because I'll use this in the message today. If you haven't watched that movie, I'd encourage you to watch it. I think it's one of the top five movies that's been put out in the last 50 years. That first part of that series, Love Comes Softly. And it's in that movie where the man has lost his wife. And this lady comes through on a wagon train and her husband falls off a horse, gets bucked or thrown off a horse, hits his head on a rock and was killed. And this guy literally asks her to marry him while she's laying on her husband's grave in the rain. And tells her that she can go. He's wanting her to marry him. His primary purpose is to help raise his daughter. And it's a good movie. And the guy's name is Clark, and the daughter's name is Missy. Does anybody remember what that gal's name was? What was her name? Huh? Marty. Yeah, there you go, Marty. Marty's the woman's name. Now, unless you've seen the movie, you can't grasp hold of what this really is. You've got to keep getting in mind. He has lost his wife. He has this little girl he's trying to raise. He's out on the frontier. And this gal's lost her husband. But what nobody knows is she's expectant. Just very in early stages. And so here they come together, but when they get married, the preacher marries them, she won't even hold his hand. And it's just a literal physical financial arrangement for her to get back east. That's all it is. But the most poignant moment of this story in this movie is this. Later that year, as the winter goes by and there's springtime and they start to plant the garden, the camera shows them dropping these bean seeds in the row. And they're covering up. She's in front of him dropping the seeds and he's covering up. And all of a sudden she turns around and she just shoves him to the ground and starts laughing and took off running. Up to that point, that woman's spirit was crushed. Lost her husband. She's pregnant. They're just a young married couple. Hadn't been married that long. And it took her all winter long. But the thing about it was, he had been praying for her, for God to refresh her spirit. Can I tell you something? Terrible, horrible things are going to happen in our lives. Right. Things that will crush your spirit. And what God wants to do in the midst of that is let you know that he is the life giver. He is the one who's his spirit. I'm telling you something. The spirit of God is eternal. It's called the eternal spirit. And what we need in the times of trouble and sorrow and questioning and confusing is the refreshing of God's spirit in our life. And here's what really gets you. Here's the moment. He fell over on the ground. He doesn't really know what's happened. He's wondering if she's mad at him. But he looks at her and she starts laughing and takes off running. What is she saying to him? Chase me. I'm going to throw something at you here. I'm going to tell you boys something. A real woman wants you to pursue her. Now, this stuff, people won't talk about this very much, but you boys just remember what I told you. When she acts like she ain't interested, kick it in gear, amen? I shouldn't have said that, I guess. I shouldn't. But it's the truth. All right. Anyway, she takes off running. When he realizes that her spirit is being refreshed, that God is doing something in her heart, he jumps up and takes off running, catches her, grabs her by the waist, and throws her around. This is virtually the first time they've ever touched each other after being married for several months. And he starts throwing her, and he starts laughing, and he's laughing. And here's the deal. His daughter, his little bitty daughter, looks at him and says, Daddy, Daddy. He says, what? You've got it back. You've got it back. He said, what back? Your laugh. Your laugh. Your joy. Can I tell you this morning, listen, we're in church. We're not just up here having a social club. We have trials. We have troubles. And you don't even know what's ahead of you. It could be that God is preparing you today for what you're going to face tomorrow. But I want to tell you something. People are smoking dope. They're doing drugs. They're drinking liquor. They're going to Silver Dollar City. They're going on cruises. They're going to Disneyland. They're trying to get something refreshed and get past the sorrows of their life when they could stay at home literally if they had to and read the word of God and pray and get with God and get refreshed in their spirit. Amen. This is probably one of the, you know, when it comes to practical living, daily living, did you know you can't run from problems? They'll be wherever you're going to meet you. She said, Daddy, you got it back. She hadn't seen her daddy laugh like that since her mama died. His spirit was being refreshed. Now, here's the crux. Paul said, they refreshed my spirit. How did he get his spirit refreshed?
The same way you can refresh your marriage. Some of you today need the spirit of your marriage refreshed. So that means you wives shove your husband down and take off running. You know, you need to get out and do some things together. Amen? Send the kids to grandpa's. I tell you what, Brother Mitchell, Tim's daddy, Tim's grinning already. He knows where I'm headed. How many grandkids they got now, 13 or 15? Something like that. 15. Every year, one week in the year, watch this, they have what they call it, camp, grandkids camp at grandma and grandpa's house. 1 week. All the grandkids come and they spend a week with grandma and grandpa. And they do all kinds. She has cabin inspections. She has it all right there at her house. And everything is set aside for the grandkids that week. Can you imagine? I don't know what the kids are doing. What do you guys do? Huh? Go have a blast somewhere. Well, anyway, he mentioned this last Sunday night here at church. I went back and I was hearing my kids talk. Oh, yeah. And I heard Sarah say, "We're not even going to show up for church. We want to see what they do with 15 grandkids in church. They're yours to take care of for a week." So me and Karen's decided we're going to have grandkids night. Not grandkids though. But can I tell you something? You know what? It could be you've got a bill you can't pay today and you're just burdened down by it. Can I tell you something? Go down. There are creeks. There are places. Talk to Brother Shane over here. He'll tell you all kinds of places you can go. Do you know there's some beautiful creeks and falls and all kinds of stuff in the Ozarks and northern Arkansas? Some of the most beautiful places on the face of God's green earth within 50 miles of you, and you haven't been there yet. And you say, "Well, I can't afford to." Borrow somebody's tent. Now, if you want to have a real refreshing, wake up in the morning in a tent when it's about 22 degrees. You will get refreshed. Amen. Throw your wife in the creek. You want to have a refreshing marriage? Take your wife canoeing and dump the canoe. You say, "Reg, you're just preaching a bunch of junk." No, I'm not. I'm sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of a bunch of Americans whining, griping, groaning because they ain't got big house, big car. We ain't got this. We ain't got that. Blah, blah, blah. When they can go do stuff that don't cost them very much, when they could renew and refresh their marriage, you've got to refresh each other. You can't wait on everybody else to do it. Amen. Make your husband a coconut cream pie. Refresh his spirit. Amen. Meet him at 5:30 when he gets home with a red negligee on. Throw your leg around him and say, "I've been waiting on you all day long, big boy." Yeah. Most marriages are dead because nobody wants to. Everybody's waiting for you to do the refreshing to me. You're full of yourself. Yeah. Yeah. God knows we need refreshing. He's designed it, laid it out biblically, ways for you to get refreshed. Satan also knows that you need refreshing, so he's going to figure out ways, sets up false traps for you and unbiblical ways to get refreshed. And by the way, let me say this to you. That does not mean that these refreshments are wrong in and of themselves, but if they're not spiritual refreshments, you'll be just as empty when you got home as you was when you left. And he puts these allurements out there and causes you to seek them. This is what liquor is about. By the way, think about it. What did your ancestors call liquor? Spirits. You stop by the liquor store, get you a six pack on the way home from work to refresh your spirit, to forget the job, to forget the burdens, to forget the trials. That's what drugs are all about. They're spirits. I mean, literally, the Bible teaches that drugs are a conduit for spirits to work in your body. Antidepressants are nothing but a false satanic system of trying to refresh your spirit to get you out of your, quote, depression. Woo! Amen. I'm telling you right now, I know what I'm talking about. Doctors tried to give me depressants. God told me you better not touch them things. I've been around the block. I've dealt with people. I'm telling you right now, they'll have you shooting your head off, what they'll do. They will not refresh your spirit. They'll absolutely destroy you.
Worldly entertainments. As I said, you can go to everything in the world. I mean, tell you what, you want to, I don't know what changes when you get from 17 years old to 65 years old. I thought Silver Dollar City was kind of neat, but now it's just a big old parking lot walk around. Who wants to walk around that place all day long? But anyway, it may be you think, well, I'm going to go to a ball game, get my spirit refreshed. I don't like going to a ball game whether everybody around me is drinking beer. It doesn't refresh my spirit. Somebody says, I'm going to go to the creek. Well, that's good to go. If a ball game will help you, go do it. If your wife loves a ball game, take her to the ball game. Amen. If your husband says, hey, if you don't like it, go anyway. Refresh your spirit. But I'm saying the activities in and of themselves will not refresh your spirit unless they are centered around the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the honest truth. The scripture says that verse number 7, Paul said this. He wrote this now from prison. For we have great joy and consolation in the love, in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. He said Philemon was a man, he said, who refreshed other people. In verse number 20, he said, yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 7:13, therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and with exceeding more joy for the joy that in Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. God dealt with me this week about this, Brother Dennis. I want to tell you something. This is the honest truth. There needs to be an atmosphere in this church, Brother Lonnie. When people walk through that door, their spirits get refreshed. You know what that bunch of kids up there singing was about? Was refreshing your spirit. God wants you to come in. When people come into a church, their spirits ought to get refreshed. Now, here's the problem. The reason a lot of times people don't leave church blessed is because you cannot get your spirit refreshed unless you have an obedient, submissive attitude toward God's word. And if you buck on God's word and the preaching of God's word, you're instead of leaving church refreshed, you're going to leave church mad. And you wonder, you say, well, I don't get nothing out of that church. You get right with God, you get a lot more than you think for, amen. But when you're bucking against preaching, I preach on modesty and you say, I ain't doing it. You think you're going to get refreshed? No. Next Sunday, you'll dread getting out of your car.
That's right. You're right.
Amen. I'm talking about getting refreshed in your spirit. 2 Timothy 1:6, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesimus, for he oft refreshed me, watch this, and was not ashamed of my chain. Well, Paul said, I had an old buddy named Onesimus, and he'd come to jailhouse see me. I was chained to the wall. Said some people didn't want to come be identified with me. I don't know, Paul. Said Onesimus said he wasn't. Here'd come Onesimus in there, coming down through that old dark, nasty rat infested slop hole, human waste running down through there, a loaf of bread under his arm, and a jar of honey under this one. He said, hey, Paul, how you doing? And Paul said, that man come to jail to see me. And he refreshed my spirit. Let me tell you, what do you think God Almighty thinks about a man to do that? You know something? Did you know that God uses the kids in this church to refresh me? I'll come over here, and there'll be banana nut bread, a jar of honey. I mean, there's something over this morning. What is it, Karen? Right here it is. Somebody, I don't know who left this, but look. Is that yours? I'm just saying, when you come to church, when you're living with people, Mrs. DeGase, she's a refresher. She'll write you a card, and she'll paint you a painting, and she'll write you a note. I want to ask you a question. When's the last time you wrote your spouse a note and hid it under her pillow or laid it right there where you know they'd get it? Tell them how much you love them, how much you appreciate all they are to you. Did you know it will refresh your marriage to do things like that? You show me a church, a body of people who know how to refresh each other's spirit, and I'll show you a great church. You say, Reggie, well, we're going to get into it pretty soon. Acts 2:27-3 said, Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. Now, as I said earlier, you can go to a ball game, the creek, the lake, or the ocean, or Nashville, or Branson, or Disneyland. You can go to the mountains, fish, and hunt, and do whatever you want to, and come home without your spirit being refreshed. How many of everyone on a trip come home to rest? Your spirit can only be refreshed. Here's the key point of this whole message. Your spirit, that real you way down inside, can only be refreshed in the Lord.
There ain't no other way. There's nothing else in the world. Now, God may use the mountains, and he may use that canoe trip, and he may use that ball game, but it's got to be, you can't be involved in junk God ain't in and expect God to refresh you. You can't say, God, go with me to this when you know this is out of the will of God and expect God to refresh you in the midst of that. Ain't happening. Okay? So you can do all those things and come home empty. It's only the Spirit of the Lord that can refresh a person. And as you honestly bring God into the situation, biblically, not trying to make God go along with what you're wanting to do, but only God can truly refresh our spirits. God is a spirit, the Bible said. Watch this. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. This gets back to why there's so much false worship in America today. Most worship in America today is not worship in spirit and truth. It's worship in soul. And they minister to the emotions of people and the woo-hoo of people. I want to ask you a question. Could you or I be broke and in prison, sick and in the hospital or a nursing home, and still be able to have our spirits refreshed? Yes. Because God is not bound by circumstances, sickness, locations, or anything else. God is able to refresh a man no matter where he's at, what kind of condition he's in. And we need to learn this. We need to grow up a little bit. Amen. There's going to come a time when I won't be able to even walk, much less crawl, to this pulpit. Brother Danny Doug was telling me the other night, he said, Reggie, I got down trying to fix something. He said, I couldn't get up, I had to crawl. He said, I'll let you have to crawl out of the room and another place to get up. You know, there just comes time when your body's not working. But can you be refreshed? I want to ask you a question. They're not here this morning. Do pray for them. They're going through a very, very rough time. And how many would say Danny and Meyer have been a refreshment to this church? Amen. I mean, you're talking about, they've refreshed me. By the way, Jeremy, you're on next Sunday night. But Danny and Jeremy taking last Sunday of the month. It gives me time to get over and sit and listen and preach and be refreshed. But I want to ask you, here's Danny pulling up with Myra. And Danny, if Myra, if you're listening, forgive me, but they'll come up here. I mean, every move is a struggle. Every move is a struggle. From the house to here and back to the house, every move is a struggle. Now, I'm talking about a hard struggle. But you know what? You won't see anybody sweeter spirit.
Amen.
We're not wallowing in their problems. They're looking how they can make your family happier. How they can bring joy into your life and other people's lives. And I say that from personal experience because they have refreshed my spirit. So, how to be refreshed and how to refresh others. Try to run through this quickly. Good grief. Exodus 23:12 says, 6 days, watch this. Everybody listen, just listen tight. 6 days shalt thou work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thine hand may be refreshed. First time refreshed is ever mentioned in the Bible. God tells you if you want to be refreshed, learn how to rest. Take rest, run it to the New Testament. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. If you're going to be refreshed, you have to learn how to rest. Now, going to bed does not necessarily mean that you're getting rest. Rest is a cessation. It's amazing to me the message God is sending to America with Chick-fil-A. It's so funny. I mean, they're just zooming by all the other fast foods in the world. I mean, monetarily, their sales is just... And they're closed on Sunday. And can you know... I dare you to do this. I dare you to do this tomorrow. Go to Springfield. Go to 6 fast food places, different brands, and see who has the best smile and the best attitude toward you. Who will it be? Chick-fil-A. You know one reason? They're abiding by the way God said, get refreshed. And God said, I don't need you to be open on Sunday to make you a top. Rest, okay? Biblical rest. God. Now, also that means to be quiet sometimes. Ceasing of normal daily work. Worshiping God. Meditating with the Lord. Communing with the Lord and sleep. Number two, first of all, rest, okay? Now, let me say something to you. The spirit is not isolated. You're also a soul in the body. So what's going on in your body will affect your spirit. You need to give rest to your body. Number two, in 1 Samuel 16:23, Saul was refreshed by the music that David played on the harp. This is critical. Number one, if you want to get refreshed and be refreshing to the people, number one, set aside that day of rest, okay? And don't make other people work. With me? Number two, Music will bring refreshing to your soul if it's biblical, godly music. When I walk into a place and it's boom, 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 I'm just like, I can't handle it. I mean, my spirit cannot handle it. I just had to get out of there. And I'm telling you something. If you want your home to be refreshing, put the right kind of music on. By the way, you can't just have no music. You need the right kind of music. By the way, how many has listened to a harp being played? You talk about something that'll ease your soul. The playing of a harp will do that. America's minds and souls are being just shredded by the stupid, idiotic country western, goofball rock and roll, and even this Christian stuff that's being played. I mean, it's messing with their minds. Music is important. If you want refreshing, get the right kind of music in your life. There's no way to overemphasize the spiritual warfare that's in this area, but listen to music that refreshes your spirit. And by the way, that may not exactly always be what refreshes my spirit. There is within a realm of music that's acceptable, okay? You know, there are people who hate bluegrass of any kind. And that's fine. You hate bluegrass? Fine, help yourself. But there's some bluegrass gospel I don't like the way it's played. But there's a lot of it that just ministers to me, and I can just listen to it, and it's just a blessing to me. But if it doesn't bless you, I'm not going to castigate you. Well, you little sorry low down backslider, you don't like my bluegrass music. No, I ain't doing that to you. Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. What you need to do is get the wrong music out of your house, out of your car, out of your life, out of your mind, put the right music back in. And I'm telling you something, you can be driving down the road and the right song can just lift your spirits up and just turn your whole day around. Thirdly, in 2 Samuel chapter 16, this is serious right here. I want you to listen tight. David is fleeing Jerusalem. Absalom has driven him off the throne, his own son. He is under attack. He's being chased to be killed. There are people literally throwing rocks at him and gravel at him, dust at him. They are cursing him and calling him names. And in verse 14, the Bible said, and the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed. Watch this. And refreshed themselves there. Now the question becomes, where is there? In order to find out where there is, you have to go back first that chapter. And it's a place called Bahurim. B-A-H-U-R-I-M. I looked it up and found out what it means. You know what it means? It means low ground. Now listen to this. What's God telling you? When you're in low ground, when you're weary, when you're tired, when you're wore out, God says, it's there in that low ground that I will refresh you if you'll just stop and let me have it. I'm telling you, don't try to run away from low ground. God wants to refresh you there. When you're in low ground, it's important to refresh and rest yourself and refresh yourself. My Uncle Dean Rose fought in the Battle of Okinawa. And Dean told me personally, he said, Reggie, they would not let you stay in the battle over 3 days. You had to come out. I said, how come? He said, because you go crazy. Couldn't take it. He said, don't think that military people don't know how much the human brain and the human spirit can take. They know. They've seen it. They see it in front of them. And he said, they bring you out and you rest. He said, you'd be surprised how short it is from a bloody, stinking bomb battlefield to sandy beach with the waves hitting your feet. Dick Winters, a Band of Brothers, up there after all that craziness went on, he went down to a cold Swiss, cold lake up there in Austria and just spent a few days there. Just swimming in that lake after all the blood and guts and rot he had seen. Dick knew the Lord. But he also knew he needed to get away. Let me tell you, a lot of soldiers' problems was their spirits were not refreshed after having seen so much. I have on occasion in my own life counseled all my plans. I have on occasion went out in the woods and sat down by a stream. Or I have on occasion went to bed and just read and prayed, turn the Bible on, think, and get away. To be honest with you, I've been a spoiled baby. But when you're dealing with death and sickness and sorrows and marital problems and on and on and on it goes. If you're not careful, it just can get to you. and you think, is there any life out here? And you want to refresh yourself. And you and I've learned this. As much as I love everybody, if I don't get refreshed, I'll be no good to you. There's times I need to come apart and rest a while. In 2 Samuel chapter 17, what a picture of this was. There's four men that brought refreshment to David. They broke through the host of the Philistines and they went to the well of the water of Bethlehem. There's a great picture there. They got water out of the well of Bethlehem and brought it to David. And they broke through the enemy's lines to do it. David said it was so sacred he wouldn't drink it. He poured it out on the ground as a pour offering to the Lord. But you know what David knew? Those men said, we want to refresh you. Now I'm going to say this to you. It's verses of, this is what this church has done for me down through the years. Over and over again, people have done things, just words of encouragement, a phone call. I never forget, Brother Danny Friend showed up at my house one day, and if you think that's not an unusual occurrence, and I was going through a rough time, and I had preached a message, listen to me, I had preached a message on holders of the ropes. And Danny walked in my house, and I said, Danny, what in the world are you doing here? He pulled a rope out. He said, I'm holding the ropes. We sat down, had a wonderful visit. And I have that rope in my study to remind me that I have had men and women who have held the ropes for me over the years, who have refreshed me when I was down. Now, I could talk a lot about that, but I'm saying this to you. We need to learn how to refresh one another. And not run away. Can I be honest with you? They claim that 1,500 pastors a week in America are quitting the ministry. I don't know whether that's true or not. That's what they say. Do you know why they're quitting the ministry? Beyond the fact that some of them probably were never called. They're not getting refreshed in their spirits. And I'm going to tell you all something. Some of you know. I'm going to give you young preachers something you need to get a hold of. You need to get, you can't just go in and just bury yourself in church work and ministry work. It'll get you. You need to learn how to get on that four-wheeler or take a walk. My wife will tell you, I mean, I'm liable to just say, honey, I'm going for a walk. I'll see you later. And I head to the backside of the farm. And it's there I get refreshed in the Lord. It's there I pour my heart out to God. And I'm just telling you, refresh yourself in the Lord when you're in the low ground. And David's had those men that brought water. It's a picture of bringing the Bible to your life. In 1 Kings chapter 19, you have a picture of Elijah. Now, I do want you to take your Bible. I know that we're running over, but I don't care. I'm going to preach what God gave me. Take your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 19. This is one of the most powerful passages of Scripture in your life. Remember this, that Elijah had just stood down Jezebel and the 850 prophets of Baal, right? He kills those 850. Everybody's still in church and we are gone. What? Everybody still here? Say amen. Amen. All right. Elijah faces down. They kill 850 prophets of the Lord. Then he runs, I don't know, somewhere between 30 and 40 miles on foot. You check it out geographically. He gets word that Jezebel's going to kill him. He takes off and runs down and he gets under that juniper tree and says, it's enough. I want to die. What happened to him that caused him from one moment being on the mountaintop of spiritual victory over Satan's forces and the next minute wanting to die? Depleted spiritual strength, needing to be refreshed. And in this passage of Scripture, chapter 19, the Bible said in verse number 4, but he himself went a day's journey in the wilderness. Underline that. Some of you need to go a day's journey in the wilderness. I'm just being honest with you. Do it. You say, I can't. Do it. Yes, you can. Take off. Get somewhere. A day's journey in the wilderness and came and sat under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die. Now, I'm not telling you to do that. But the truth about it is you may already be there. You're just tired of it. You're sick of it. You've had all you can take. And it said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's. Now watch verse 5 carefully. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, did you get that? You know what? If some people would run out and said, Elijah, get your backside up there at the hospital and get to visit them folks. Elijah, get back up there and get to study. Elijah, go do this. Elijah, go do that. Elijah, what are you doing down there laying around a juniper tree for? Did you know it's more important for him to be under that juniper tree laying down sleeping than it was for him to be out ministering to anybody? Because if he didn't get refreshed right here, he's done. And you will be too. Now watch this. I love this passage of scripture. Then an angel touched him. Angel didn't come and kick him. The angel touched him. Now, you all think I'm lying, but I have experienced this in my realm of life. I just burned out. Just had it. If this is what Christianity is, who wants this junk? And just get away. And just like, hey, Reggie, God has never come and kicked me and stomped on me and chewed me out when I went away and got away in the wilderness. He said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals. God's in the cake baking business, amen. And the cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink and laid him down again. Did you get that? He's sleeping. Angel touches him, gets him cake, water, lays down and goes back to sleep again. Can I tell you the truth? Some of you ought to get away and sleep for about 3 days. Now, some of you ought to start working. Some of you ought to go. Seriously. If you're not careful, folks, it'll wrap itself around your neck like a snake, and you can't even enjoy life. And verse number 7, the angel of the Lord came again the second time. Look what he did. Touched him and said, arise and eat, because what? Journey's too great for thee. And you could just, and by the way, it was after this refreshing that he did one of the greatest things in his whole ministry, which was get Elisha and get him into the ministry. I said earlier, it's not Silver Dollar City or Disneyland, or it's getting Christ and his word in you. I would encourage some of you, if you get to this point, maybe I'm just preaching to two or three people here today, but if you're at that point, you're almost at a breaking point, I would get somewhere along with God. Take my Bible, drop everything else, and say, God, just speak to me and refresh my spirit. You don't need depressants, you don't need beer, and you don't need drugs. You need God. You need to get along with the Lord. Give you some practical ways to refresh yourself and others, and we're out of here. Number one, read your Bible in quietness and listening to God. You want refreshment, read your Bible. I would not tell you how many times God has refreshed me. I might be depressed and kind of down and get to reading my Bible. Next thing you know, I'm wanting to preach. Amen. I just, so fired up and so happy in the Lord. Number two, pray. Pour your heart out to God. Don't pour your heart out to preachers. Don't pour your heart out to psychologists. Pour your heart out to God. If you want to get refreshed, pour your heart out to God and pray and seek his face. Let me tell you something this morning. I got my prayer closet before I headed out this morning. And I'll tell you, I didn't have but about 4, 5, 6 minutes with God. But boy, I'm telling you what, if I come out of there, I was ready to roll. Amen. I'm telling you, God can refresh you through prayer. He really can. Get in that prayer closet. Number three, praise him. You're getting up down the road, just bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. I mean, praise the Lord. Learn how to praise God. Number four, we got to run quick. Sing. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his... Sing to yourself. Amen. The Bible says to. Sing to yourself. Read your Bible. Pray. Praise the Lord. Sing. Get the right kind of music. Take a hymnal home with you. And fasting can also renew yourself. You can be refreshed through fasting, because that brings a lot of things into the scene. Number six, can I encourage you, smile and rejoice? Smile. How much it costs you to smile? Boy, I'm telling you something, folks. Listen, the world's waiting for somebody to smile at them. You smile, it's a way of ministering to people. How many walks to walk in here and somebody meets you at the door and go, what are you doing here? I mean, sometimes being careful, that's the look we're giving people. What are you doing here? You know, I'm just saying smile. It doesn't cost a whole lot to smile. And then rejoice at the goodness of God. Rejoice in the Lord. The Bible said rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Number seven, this kind of goes along with that, but be friendly. Say hi to people and wave at people. I like going through Norwood. Nobody in Norwood likes me much, but I get fun out of waving at them, see if they'll wave back. Amen. I mean, hey, don't let people take the wave out of you. Don't let people take the smile off your soul. And number eight, greet people. Express genuine interest in their life. I watched a young man down in Florida the other day. They interviewed him about his grandpa. And he said something that has literally got a hold of me. He said, my grandpa, when he met you, would not let you ask him about his life. He would gently and easily turn it to where he began to ask about your life. He knew that blessing came from being interested in what you're doing, your family, your work, your job. See, turn it from yourself to other people. You want to get refreshed, do that. Number nine, if you want refreshment, and some of you won't believe this, but go to church when you don't feel like it. Go to church and worship. By the way, go to church to do something. Get up and sing. Help this and do that and go see people. And, you know, I got such a kick out this morning. I don't, you know, four or five grandkids come up here around me. You know, so isn't it funny? I'm wondering if when they're 16, are they still going to come up there? Now you just listen to me. Isn't it funny how we're to be as little children? Little kids don't mind getting up and coming singing. But old folks, we get too old to sing. I'm telling you, when you come to church, participate. We don't come to church to gripe and criticize and condemn and prate our pride. And we need to worship the Lord. Number 10, respond to God's word and spirit. And I said this earlier. If the Bible, if God, you come into church and you said, man, I came to get refreshed. And he got up here and preached on that again. Did you know what? When you won't get right about something, it'll seem like every time you come to church, he preaches on it. I remember the old boy preaching about smoking cigarettes. Remember that? And he said, I just wouldn't quit smoking cigarettes. And he said, every Sunday I'd go, you're smoking him cigarettes. He said, every Sunday he'd preach on cigarettes. You know the truth about it, he wasn't preaching on cigarettes every Sunday, but he was just, it was in his mind all the time. And he said, when I finally quit, he said it took months for him to preach on sucking cigarettes again. But he said, when he did, I jumped up and said, hallelujah, I don't suck them no more. Did you know something? If you get right with God, preaching will be refreshing to you. You get right with God. But if you won't, if you've got areas of your life, it's not going to be refreshing. Respond to God's word. Let me give you another one. Forgive and release people for their offenses. If you want refreshment, forgive people. That doesn't mean you like what they do. It doesn't mean you can have fellowship with them. It doesn't mean you agree with them. Just forgive them. Let God have it. Commit it to him who judges righteously. God will take care of it. You go on and serve the Lord. Number 12, cleanse your spirit and your soul and your body, your home, your vehicle, your workplace, anything that displeases the Lord. Now, I'm going to give you something about refreshment. The first mention of rest in the Bible is this. The dove, watch this, the dove found no rest for the sole of her feet. That's the first time rest ever mentioned in the Bible. I'll tell you everything you need to know about it. You'll never get rest and rot. You know why the dove didn't have any rest for the sole of her feet? Because there was dead, rotting carcasses floating out there on that water. And when Noah sent her out, she wouldn't land on any of that junk. She came back into the ark, which is a picture of Jesus Christ, and that's where she had rest. But she didn't get no rest. Can I tell you, if you're truly a child of God, you'll never have rest on rot. Now, the second time it's mentioned, it tells you where you will get rested. That's in Genesis chapter 18 up there where the angels came down, and the Bible said this, they rested under the tree. It is a picture of Calvary. You can rest under Calvary. Let me tell you something. How do you know whether you're saved or not? By resting at the tree. How do you know whether you're going to heaven or not? By resting upon the promises of God's word about what happened on the cross. You see, there's rest at the base of the tree, and God wants you to know that. Let me give you another way to get refreshment. Go visit somebody that's sick. Did you know there's an amazing experience that I have discovered in the ministry? That is, I go to visit somebody in the hospital, and I'm like, oh, man, I don't know what to say to him. I want to go zap and fix him. And it seemed like God never answered my prayer about somebody getting well, you know. But you know, invariably, you go visit somebody, and you get more good out of it than they do. Let me tell you, some of your families here, I'm going to tell you something. It would do some of you families to load up your kids and go visit some elderly here in the church, somebody sick in the church, and minister to them. In fact, if it is, I'll make this challenge to you. Instead of doing something for me and Karen, do something for somebody here in church. I mean, I appreciate it. I really do. But try doing it for somebody else that you don't even hardly know, being a blessing to them. I said this morning, that church in Texas this week that gave $1,400,000 to pay off poor people's hospital bills. Do you think that church is having a good time this Sunday? Amen. Yeah. If you want to be refreshed, get out and do something for people. Quit living your life for yourself. If you want to be refreshed, encourage other people, comfort other people, give joy to other people, serve the Lord, help people, and give. And then a big one, come apart. When John the Baptist's head, they cut John the Baptist's head off, you know what Jesus told his disciples? Come apart and rest a while. Sometimes it can just get to be too much. I remember one time, This been years ago, but a really rough deal happened. And I mean, I'll tell you, it like bucked me off the horse. And I got my truck and I went over to a place I had and got on the side of the hill and I just parked the truck. You know, and I'm glad I just said, God, I got to come apart. And I'll just tell you something. You say this stuff isn't real. I preached a meeting week before last in Arkansas. Had no clue what was going on in that revival meeting. And a pastor's wife hit the altar up there, and he was with her, and I didn't know anything about it. Found out the next morning that she had had some really bad stuff happen at the church where they'd been pastoring. She had been butchered alive by the women in the church. And she was to the point where she did not want her husband preaching anywhere to anybody anymore. Out, we're done. And I'm telling you right now, people need to come apart. I told him, I said, I'm going to tell you right now, that church or any other church is not worth your life. Because actually, the discussion of... And I'm telling you, anybody in this building that you're considering suicide or those thoughts are running through you, number one, you get with somebody you love that loves you, you know they love you, and you stay close, and you get alone, and you get in this book, and you speak the truth in your heart, and you rebuke Satan through Jesus' name, and you plead the blood of Jesus Christ, and you get them stinking, lying, hellish thoughts out of your mind, and you say, this will never happen, I'm not a lying heaven, this is off the books, it ain't happening. Are you listening to me? But sometimes to do that, you need to come apart and rest a while. And then I want to encourage you this. Enjoy nature. Now, I don't believe in worshiping nature, but I believe in worshiping nature's God. And I believe God gave us all things to enjoy richly. Karen and I the other night got on the four-wheeler and we took off. And we made a big circle, come back through. And boy, I'm going to tell you what. We coming up through a little old place there and three giant bucks took off there. Boom, boom, boom. I said, Karen, you don't see that every day. Boy, we got a kick out of that. And I'm going to tell you something. Yeah, there's sorrows in life, but you get out and just go watch a squirrel for a while, would you? Just go watch a squirrel. Watch a bird. I'm just serious with you. Simple stuff don't cost nothing hardly. Enjoy nature. Enjoy the water. Enjoy the trees, the rocks. My wife loves rocks. I don't know what in the world the deal is. Could we get that rock? Could we get that rock? Karen, it's all right. I'm glad you like rocks. Zachary, he's talking about he got a big rock the other day. You know, God put them rocks there and we ought to enjoy them. Get out there and talk to God. Take some hikes. Walking's good for you. Get in a canoe. Paddle that thing. Look up on the bluffs. Watch the fish in the water. Forget about it. Hey, this world's not going to get up and brag on you how you worried yourself to death. Preacher ain't going to get up and say, oh, this guy was so godly, worried himself to death. He fretted himself to the grave. You just will enjoy it. I'm telling you right now, call up to Jeff City. They'll send you a book on Missouri places to go and stuff you can do. Now, I hope some of you is back next Sunday. But if you're not, I'll know what happened. But anyway, then when you're refreshed, return back to your life's work. I didn't say run. I said refresh. The first mention of rest is required for friends. I said the dove could find no rest for the sole of her feet. Let's stand together. God just got done, and I need to. What do you think, Brother Sutton? You think, don't you think? I think God got done. All right, here we go. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word. Just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him. Now, I'm not fishing for compliments, okay? I think you know me well enough to know that. But I really want you to, I'm honest with you, I probably stumbled and bumbled through this message, but as far as I'm concerned, for a saved person, this is probably one of the most important messages I've ever preached. Folks, listen, if we're going to last and we're going to stay in the game, we've got to continuously let God refresh our spirits. And I just pray that somehow or another through this preaching, this message, that that thought will get in your head, I've got to refresh my spirit, and you'll run straight into the arms of the Lord. Whatever that means, whether it's fishing or just driving or walking or just going to the prayer closet or just getting your Bible and say, Lord, refresh my spirit. God help us. Amen. You'll see you tonight. Thank you so much for being here. I know it's hot in here, but not near as hot as hell.